It is time for our farming slot. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Mairead, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
This is your first time here as well. Well, it's a brand new place.
Well, it's a whole brand new place. And isn't it wonderful? Have you had a tour outside yet?
No, I went outside and
well,
had
now
a look.
Really
you
and
know,
truly.
I get nervous in open spaces. No,
you need to buy into the whole grow, cook and eat philosophy. That's absolutely big here. This was a kind of a derelict site 6 months, a year ago. And it's right on the R10. It's on the ring road around Waterford, which is a great road, actually. Straight opposite the University Hospital. The Sunnis Centre for Cancer is down at the other end of the site. So, you know, fair dues to Waterford Council for, listening to the proposal from GEIY, accepting it and going with it. And now you've got this most wonderful facility here. And also, fair dues to GEIY. They are the single best lot of fundraisers that I've ever come across. 1.4 million is not simple to put your hands around, and they did, and they made this centre a reality. And I think it's like, it's what, 8-10 years work at this stage has gone in to the whole thing since it kind of started off in Mike Kelly's brain as a germ of an idea. And he's dead right when he says that when a group of people kind of have a power to do things, they can change. You know, when there's enough people to think a certain way. And with this headquarters here now, you know, that potential is there because of the numbers of people that can be shown how to grow vegetables and what to do with them after they grow them. I mean, an awful lot of people produce vegetables and then they leave them sitting there and they don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
We have, in the journal, we have she comes in about every 3 weeks, a contributor who's a novice gardener with an allotment, and she has, it's the 15 minute gardener is what it's called. I have 15 minutes in the day for to stay in the allotment. What can I get done and what can I produce? But every time she takes a crop off that allotment, she gives recipes for what to do with it. So you're not going to be facing a whole glut of tomatoes and they all rotten in the fridge, you know, there's no use. Here's how you make ketchup, here's how you make relishes, here's what you do with it. So I think that's the whole philosophy that's here, and it's great to get out of the office and to get around the countryside. And the site here covers over 3 acres, nearly 4 acres, and there's so much of it planted now. And you couldn't believe what has grown in the place since July. I mean, they were starting off with a bare field site, you know, where to put everything, how to plan it out. And, you know, there's plants up there, like there's carrots. They're going to have carrots here for Christmas. Fresh carrots. I thought you could only grow carrots in the summer.
No, he said they were Christmas carrots.
Christmas carrots. Yeah.
They come up
and
with
for anybody,
on them.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, no, these ones are white. They obviously don't get a chance to go pink. They get such a fright with all the frost. Yeah. So they're white satin is the name of this particular variety. But there's also a variety of carrots, and again, every carrot grower in the country would be interested in this. Resista fly. It's supposed to be able to resist the carrot fly or to deal with it. So that'd be fierce interesting for people who are into growing their carrots. But I mean, there was beetroot, you know, doing beautifully up there, all just planted in the autumn time. They've already got crops of pumpkins and courgettes harvested off the site, only grown since the summer. And, you know, the whole objective here is to get people involved. And, you know, anything that does that is really, you know, useful. And I was just talking to Lucy Bell, who is the head grower here. And, you know, just straight across, there are kind of apartment blocks. So this isn't for people who've got a great big back garden and can put a half an acre into a vegetable
plot. Well, I mean, that's the thing, because this is a similar point I made to Michael. People will be listening soft-handed
right,
metrosexuals going, this is all right if you're a farmer.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, when you've got manicured nails or you've just had a shellac nail job done on your nails, that's why I never do anything with my nails, because I garden. Now, I flower garden as opposed to veggie garden. But I mean, I was asking people straight across the road, you know, I think it's a 3 or 4 story buildings along there. What will they be able to grow? How will they be able to make use of the centre? And I mean, it's everything from a pot to, you know, a window box to you know, your quarter acre bed, or somebody who wants to put in an apple orchard. I mean, and they've just planted the apples here, and the cider eaters and cookers as well. So, you know, it's going to be for everything. And it's to get the message that what you grow, you can cook and then eat. and, you know, get that message out to children in particular. And, you know, with GIY is doing that. AgriAware is also one of the champions of that. They'll have 1,200 schools growing 5 incredible edibles into, you know, from March onwards, and big, you know, competition on that. And, you know, that message has to get through. And the 15-minute gardener that we have on the paper, she was telling me there, or she wrote in her last piece about this young fella coming up to her and saying that he had planted lettuce in his ma's front garden. Now, his ma's front garden had never seen lettuce before. Mm-hmm. But she spent 40 minutes discussing lettuce with him. And this was a 13 or 14-year-old. So now he's it all planted up in cabbage for the winter. And just one little thing from her column, just one kid growing lettuce, now growing cabbage. I mean, is he a grower for life? Probably.
Yeah.
Because you won't, once you see it, and if you've ever been with little children and you've planted seeds, even planted potatoes, and you followed it through and watched them and what they have, you know, the different parts, and then the day when they go to dig the potatoes, I mean, that is just magical. Because it's like as if, you know, Santa Claus nearly has arrived.
Yeah.
Because they remember, and they're so keen on potatoes, and then there's all these potatoes and they're all just there. It's like as if leprechauns put them or something, but they've actually grown them and then let them make them into chips or make them into soup or just do mashed potatoes inside in the school kitchen. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, indeed. Though Dee says, stop talking about food. I'm currently fasting for a colonoscopy tomorrow. Would sooner have tinsel carrots sprout out of me, to be honest, says Dee.
Well, I'll tell you now,
God love
that poor woman with her fasting for her colonoscopy, she's more than fasting.
Oh, no, she is. Oh, yeah, we know. Yeah, there's a fairly hideous drink you have to have. Yes.
The poor woman,
thing.
God,
oh,
help
God
us now.
So, so in other news, there's a straw crisis.
Yeah, the people who bought straw early this year are smiling and laughing. Well, they're not really laughing, but there's a lot of people. And well, the people who have straw are probably smiling and laughing because the price of it has rocketed. We did a survey in the Journal this week, just, you know, the last 2 days, and we're talking about prices, you know, from in Mayo, about 25 euro for the 4x4 bales versus 18 euro last year. In Wexford, you're talking about 16 to 20 euro versus 8 to 10 last year. Kerry, 16 euro versus 10. Different prices, different parts of the country, collected or not collected. You know, some people are able to go and get it. Cheaper down the East Coast than the West Coast because there's not so much tillage grown there. But straw is something like, you know, it's like the feeling I get now. You know, there's an open fireplace at home, and I love having a house of sticks and a bit of turf in. The straw is something the same, having it there. Mm. And, you know, straw is used both for feeding and for bedding. So when I talk about bedding, it's exactly what the duvet is about, you know, it's putting it down. And but feeding now, it goes into these big diet feeders, and it's chopped up and you add meal to it, and it helps provide roughage that animals have to have in order to be able to digest their food. But for the bedding end of it, there is nothing as like as, you know, golden bales of straw. I mean, it's like stored sunshine. It's the only word I can use to describe it. You know, just think of it. And you go into a shed in the evening and you open up one of these big bales and you've got maybe 3 or 4 pens of calves, or you've got 3 or 4 pens of sheep, and you put out the fresh bedding, and they're there and they're giddy and they're rooting it and they're running around in it. And they're, you know, it's just a joyous thing. And it's just a simple little task. Mm. So, you know, it's an absolute essential on farms.
And why has it become so expensive this year?
It's because, remember all that awful weather we had in August and July, and people couldn't get their crops harvested. And in an awful lot of parts of the country, the straw just collapsed and turned a dirty, awful grey. And it isn't actually, even driving down here now today, I saw fields where the straw has never even been collected. There was no point, there was no value in it. The crunch had gone out of it. You know, it was flat and it was really dead. So the problem is the absolute shortage and the demand for it right across the country. Even now, we saw for sale ads in the Journal this week, people offering to sell straw, and they would take cash or cows in exchange.
Crikey.
So, you know, and that's the two.
Would it ever be something that's important that we'd import?
We probably do. It's very expensive. We did now, you know, we imported both hay and straw there a couple of years ago when there was a fodder crisis.
Yeah.
And we got everything literally that they had available in the UK, and we had to go even further afield for it. But But just a warning out there, you know, you're going to be expected to pay a lot more for straw if you haven't it booked and ordered and paid for at this stage.
Right. Okay. Well, off you go. They have five different sorts of turnip out there that you can enjoy.
There's loads of stuff. And go for a tour. It's really worth it. They're going to have lovely edible hedges here as well later, you know, when they start to grow. The rosa rugosa and elder hedges. And they should be lovely. And, you know, where you get fruit berries and everything and you can just pick your way along.
There'll be a pile up in the roundabout out there, people stopping.
Yeah. But the Energia, for people with the Energia, you know, the funding, it's 70,000 funding.
Yeah.
85 projects going to be supported around the country. Community-led projects. So if you have a men's shed, if you have a handicap group, if you have any sort of thing, any sort of community, guerrilla gardeners, ICA group, whatever, and you want to use that philosophy of grow, cook and eat, come in and look for the funding.
Indeed.
It's going to be there.